Good morning. Will you turn to Matthew 6, please? Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer is in about the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And if the Sermon on the Mount was the crown of our Lord's teaching, then his prayer is a great jewel that is in the middle of the crown, front and center. It is the jewel in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The bigger package in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verses 1 to 21, is living righteously because we want our Father in heaven to see it. Because if we live in his way so that he will see it, and not so people will see, then he will reward us. And that's a reward it would be very sad to lose. So while urging us to do the right thing so God will see it and reward us, in the middle of that, Jesus teaches us how to pray. So our scripture today is chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. So that's 9 verses. The Lord's Prayer is 5 verses long in the middle of that. Before the prayer and after it, Jesus takes 2 verses to tell us how not to pray. So he tells us how not to pray, and then he shows us how to pray, and then he tells us another way not to pray. So we will go through it like that. But first we will read the whole section. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. When you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, your holy name be honored. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's the scripture. How not to pray, part 1, which is bad prayer math. How not to pray, part 1, bad prayer math. When you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Chew on this, my brothers and sisters. They think they will be heard because of their many words. But your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Bad prayer math says the longer the prayer, the more the words, the better a chance we have of persuading God to act. And we still think like this. Jesus says, no, no, no. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. The other bad prayer math says that the more people we can email and get praying, the more people praying, the better a chance we have of persuading God to act. So when someone in the church is in distress, we let each other know and we pray for each other. And that's part of life together before our Father, and we're told to live like that. The scriptures encourage that. But leave the math out of it. We're acting together out of love. We're not persuading God with a longer list of names. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In Matthew 10, Jesus will tell us that our Father knows the number of hairs on our head, each one of us. For some of us, the number changes every day, but the Father is on it. And so later in this sermon, Jesus will say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Listen, God knows more about us than we know. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. He will take care of these things. The Lord's transition to the Lord's Prayer. That's what we'll look at now. We need to feel this transition. Listen to Jesus. When you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans. They think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, your name, your kingdom, your will. Let me go over the important part again. Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, your name, your kingdom, your will. This is crucial. What Jesus means, although he does not say it in exactly these words, is that when the Father knows what we need, he's dealing with it. He already is taking care of us, so we don't actually have to pray about our needs at all, because he's already taken care of our needs. Because he's already taken care of our needs, we can pray about his name and his kingdom and his will. We try to persuade our Father to give us what we are sure we need. Jesus does not think that is the real purpose of prayer. I want to know the key, the secret of getting God to do what I want. Jesus thinks that's too much like the pagans. The trouble happens when we are in distress and we need help and God is not helping. And that's how it seems to us. And Jesus is telling us something different. God knows exactly what we need, and he is supplying it right now for the day he's taking care of us. Your Father is already on it, is what Jesus implies. It's not wrong to pray for our needs. Peter says, throw your cares on him, because he cares for you. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, tell God what you need. God will guard you, Paul says, and he will be with you. But don't miss what Jesus is saying. Parents don't wait until their children ask to give them what they need. Parents just take care of the children. Jesus says, your Father knows what you need before you ask, and he's already providing. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, your name, your kingdom, your will. The confidence and submission of the Lord's Prayer. We submit because we are confident. The Lord's Prayer assumes a certain confidence. My Father is taking care of my needs so I can devote myself to his kingdom and righteousness. I can seek the Father's kingdom and his righteousness because he's taking care of all the things I need. That is a big step of confidence. But that's what Jesus assumes when he teaches us to pray. Here's how Ed Neufeld prays. Our Father in heaven, your holy name be honored, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. And now, Father, here's what I really want. I want you to do my will, and I would like you to take care of my kingdom and my name. That's how I pray. What if Jesus means what he says? What if I don't need to worry about my needs and the dangers and the troubles that crowd in on me because my Father is already on it? What if the Father is already giving me one day at a time everything I need for that day? That's the way Jesus tells us to think about this. Give us today our daily bread. Give us whatever we need to seek your kingdom and righteousness today. There's an emphasis in this line on one day at a time. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today what we need for today. The Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer. At the end of chapter 6, Jesus will say, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough evil of its own. I love that line. Jesus, the cheerful pessimist, don't worry about today, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has plenty of troubles of its own. Give us today, Father, whatever we need today to seek you and serve you today. It's a different way of thinking and living, and it is a different way of praying, but that's what Jesus is teaching us. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Debts and trespasses and sins are all used more or less interchangeably here. If we take this line just as it stands, and I don't see why we would not, the Father does not forgive us if we are not already forgiving others. Forgive us as we have forgiven others. And that's a hard teaching, because sometimes we have been very badly hurt by other people. And maybe they didn't mean it, and maybe they did, and maybe they don't even care. We have been hurt. The fifth beatitude was, good news from God for the merciful, for you will receive mercy. Folks, this is one of the ways in which the gate to life is narrow and the path is steep. We forgive those who injure us. We don't try to get even. We don't try to hurt them. We don't insult or even hate them. And after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus has another short section on how not to pray. And in that second how not to pray section, Jesus tells us bluntly, if we are not forgiving others, the Father will not forgive us. They will owe us what they do not repay, and we will forgive the debt. On the other hand, there's some good news here in forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The good news is that the kingdom of our Father is the kingdom of forgiveness. And Jesus knows that his followers, the Beatitude people, the people whose righteousness goes past the scribes and Pharisees, and he's talking about you and me here, we regularly sin against God and against each other. Jesus was not surprised that the righteous would sin against God and against each other every day. Do you get that? He was not surprised. It's going to happen. As long as we make sure we are forgiving one another, it's just life in the kingdom. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The problem with temptation and the problem with testing and the danger of the evil one is that these take us away from praying, Father, your name, your kingdom, your will. Temptation and the evil one take us away from seeking first our Father's kingdom and his righteousness. And so we end the prayer, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one, so we don't get steered away from how it started. Your name, your kingdom, your will. And so we pray for help. We don't do well when we are tested and tempted. We lose sight of God. We need help. The evil one wants above all to steer us away from seeking first our Father's kingdom and righteousness. He's good at this, and we are weak. So we pray, don't lead us into testing or temptation. We don't do well. Rescue us from evil and the evil one. We need your help, Father. And this is in the Lord's Prayer because God wants to help us and will help us. This is part of what we need every day, and we ask for it. Because we don't want to stop praying, Father, your name, your kingdom, your will. It's hard to pray the Lord's Prayer every day when I am deliberately continuing on in sin. Something's got to give there. Something's got to give. You make a liar out of yourself, or else you stop praying, or else you go after that sin a little harder. But if you knowledgeably and deliberately continue on in sin, then you can't really pray the Lord's Prayer every day. This is the prayer the Lord prayed. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. That's in Matthew 6. Two chapters earlier, in Matthew 4, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. When Jesus says we should pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, he's talking about himself. I'm convinced Jesus prayed most of the Lord's Prayer for himself during those 40 days. He was led into temptation, and he struggled against the evil one. How can he not be talking about himself here? Your holy name be honored. Every temptation of Satan began, since you are the Son of God. Okay, the Father called Jesus Son of God at his baptism, just before the 40 days of temptation began. So Satan said, since you are the Son of God, you should do this. But Jesus prayed, your name, not mine. This is not about me being the Son of God. This is about you being God. Satan said, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus prayed, Father, your kingdom. May your will be done. May earth submit to heaven. Satan said, make these stones into bread. But Jesus said, Father, give me bread today, which did not happen. The Spirit led Jesus out to be tempted. Jesus prayed, Father, I'm not doing well. I need help. Rescue me from the evil one. We should assume Jesus was very close to giving in to Satan's pull and pressure. He was close to leaving his mission and his calling. And so Jesus prayed what we call the Lord's Prayer. In Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer happens in a different setting. Jesus was apart from the disciples, praying by himself. And when he joined them again, they said, "Teach us to pray." And that means, "We want to pray like you pray." And then he taught them the Lord's Prayer. Probably that's what he was praying. We want to follow Jesus, don't we? So let's pray what he prayed. There's a story in Luke 22. Jesus talking to Peter. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." Satan got permission to test them, to tempt them. Jesus prayed that Simon Peter's faith would not fail. Maybe that is being rescued from the evil one. Satan wanted Simon's faith to fail. At the end of Paul's life, he says, "I kept the faith. I fought the fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith." A bit later in that same chapter, he writes, "I was delivered from the lion's mouth." Who do you think the lion is? "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." Paul endured no end of evil attacks. His life was full of these. In what way did the Lord rescue him from every evil attack? The answer is Paul kept the faith. And that means he was delivered by the Lord, and in that way, the Lord brought Paul safely into his heavenly kingdom. What if what we really need is to keep the faith? What if God rescued Jesus this way during his 40 days in the wilderness? What if Jesus made it through the 40 days because he kept praying this prayer and the Father delivered him from the evil one? What if that is the real battle in our troubles? And the Father rescues us from that, from losing our faith, because we keep praying. You people here, listening to me, you still fight the fight and you run the race. You people keep the faith. All the dark forces and powers have not taken you off that. What if the power of God's glorious strength is what has kept you? You have kept the faith in all your tests. What if that's the Spirit's power as much as raising the dead? Put some teeth in this prayer. You have faith because we have faith, and we carry on because we pray this and God answers. Do not lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Imagine the Father's response to your prayer. Imagine yourself praying, "Father, your name not mine, your kingdom not mine, your will not mine. Give us whatever we need every day to stay with this, Father." And imagine the Father totally delighted. He's exuberant. He rolls up his sleeves and he says to himself, "I will see it done. They are praying like my son prayed, and this is perfect. I will certainly do this." And we say, "My troubles are not going away." And our Father says to us, "I know, but my son's troubles did not go away either. Remember what he said, 'In the world you will have trouble, but cheer up, I've defeated the world.' If you pray this, says the Father, I will make it happen. Ask me for this, and you will receive. Seek this from me, and you will find it. Knock at this gate, and the door will be opened. Your life will bring honor to my holy name. My kingdom will grow in you and through you, and the power and strength of my glorious might will make it happen." And this is not separate from needing forgiveness every day and forgiving each other every day. We still sin against God and against one another. But he obviously can still answer the rest of this prayer while that continues. The prayer itself assumes all of that. How not to pray, part 2, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We have already spoken about this. When we pray, how many words does not matter. Forgiving other people, on the other hand, matters a lot. To answer this prayer for us, the Father has to give a lot, so we will forgive others the same way. There's freedom in the Lord's Prayer. If we can get there, if we can assume that God has taken care of our needs, He knows what we need and He's dealing with it, so I can pray about His name and His kingdom and His will. If we can get there, it takes the pressure off. If that really is the most important thing, let's get ourselves there. The only success that counts is if we can pray this and mean it. It is available to everyone. Many kinds of success on this earth have limited entry. Not everyone can get in, only a few. It depends what kind of success, but most of them have pressure, and they are all fragile. Things we can't control can take success away from us. If your rewards are on earth, they're dubious, they're fragile. But Jesus taught us that the only thing that counts is having the Father's reward and seeking the Father's kingdom and righteousness. Judy sent me an email about leading worship last Sunday. She was stressed about how to do this with all the masks. What kind of singing would that be? It gave her a bad week. And then she decided, I could just do it for my Father. That was the title in the email that came out. Do it for your Father. She thought, I could do it for my Father. And it took the pressure off. There's a freedom in actually living this way. We can actually turn our heads toward this. So success is actually doable. It's really quite doable. The pressure is off. The Lord's Prayer in this longer section on do it for the Father and get the Father's reward, it would be sad to miss out on that. The Lord's Prayer is in that longer section. So doing it for the Father and praying the Lord's Prayer both take us the same way. And there's a freedom in living this way. And that's one reason Jesus called it good news. That's why He said, my burden is easy and my load is light. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, since You already know everything we need, and since You provide for us every day, we will pray like this. May your holy name be honored, Father. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done. May earth submit to heaven. Give us today whatever we need to serve You. Forgive us our sins as we forgave those who sinned against us. Don't lead us into testing or temptation. We don't do well, Father. Rescue us from evil and the evil one. We need Your help every day. You are the King. You have the power. So Yours be the glory. And Father, we have seen tests and troubles, and we still hope in You. We still trust in You. Our faith has not failed. How much have You been doing for us to make that true? We don't know, but we know enough to thank You and praise You. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn His face toward us and give us peace. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.